Amen. Well, thank you for that special Minyan family. I appreciate that. I was thinking that is obviously very applicable for missionary families. Jesus is going to take care of us. He gave us the promise, lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. But, you know, that's applicable for all of us, wherever we are. And Pastor mentioned all the things going on in the news in our world today. I'm glad that Jesus will take care of us. What a blessing to know that. Let me just give you a quick, can I call it advertisement here tonight before I get started? We've got all kinds of stuff back there on our table, and some of y'all have been checking it out and looking it over, so now it's time to make that decision and take some with you tonight, okay? Anything that looks interesting besides like the tablecloth and the displays, we'd like to keep that. But otherwise, please take those things with you that are of interest to you, or if you know somebody who would be interested, please take it and give it to them. But one thing I'd highlight tonight that some of you, I think a good number of you, have heard about our Camp Bimmy that we have at BIMI. We just finished our 30th year of Camp Bimmy. There's been more than 1,000 students that have come through Camp Bimmy, most of who, the majority of which, are either in missions or full-time service of some sort. And just to give you a little idea about Camp Bimmy, it is a camp not like where you go and you ride ponies and you shoot BB guns, okay? Now, I like those kind of camps. They're good too, okay? I'm just saying it's not that kind of a camp. This is a missions intensive. There are college-level classes that are taught throughout the morning and then usually sometimes one in the afternoon as well. We have activities in the afternoon, and then each evening we have a service where you will be presented with the needs around the world, and you will literally take a trip around the world via the field directors that are there, and the videos that are shown, and et cetera, and so on. And it is specifically made for those who have a very strong interest in missions. You don't have to be called to missions to come to Camp Bimmy. And by the way, please understand that if you come to Camp Bimmy, I nor no one else is going to try and talk you into missions. We'd like to do that, but I learned a long time ago, if I can talk you into missions, somebody else can talk you out of missions, okay? But what we want to do is inform you about missions and what it's all about, because it's nice to know sometimes before you get into something what to expect. And this is something that the Lord has used greatly over the years to help young people make decisions about missions. Now, I say young people, you have to be at least 16 years of age, but last year we had a 67-year-old there. The year before that, we had, a 65-year-old there. The median age is around 25 years of age, and there are a lot of young people. There are married couples that come who are just searching, what does God have for me in missions? So it's an interesting camp. It's missionary boot camp, so we do some fun things like you got to clean your room every day and you got room inspection. Because when you travel on deputation, you're going to be having someone's room that you're using, and you want it to look good if they happen to walk into that room, if you're in their house, okay? And we do some other stuff too, like every meal that we serve is an international meal. So the field director takes responsibility for a meal. So if you come to Camp Bimmy, you will probably eat something that you have never eaten before. But it's going to be good, okay? I don't want to scare you off. I really don't. It is all good. Now, this past year, we had some interesting stuff. We have goat meat. Some of you have had that before. That's not all that bad, as long as it's cooked well. Salted mare's milk. No, it's not as bad as it sounds, okay, from Mongolia. You know, it's not too bad. But, you know, hey, once you've been there, you had some, you can say, hey, been there, done that, okay? You know, I don't know about to get the T-shirt part of it, but, you know, you can say been there, done that. But obviously there's a reason for that, too, when it comes to missions, because I'll tell you, if God takes you to a place and something is set before you that you've never had before, and your first reaction is roll up your nose and your eyes and say, ooh, you've just lost a chance to witness to that person who probably sacrificed greatly to put that food in front of you. So it's good to be able to come up with how to handle situations like that, and at least try it, okay? And listen, if you've got more questions about Camp Bimmy, see us afterwards. We'd love to talk with you more about that. This is something very special to us. For the last 4 years prior to this one, I was the Camp Bimmy director along with being the general director just because of a transition time in there. But we have worked with Camp Bimmy for 20 years, my wife and I, and just absolutely love it. So That's my advertisement for tonight. Let's get in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We got to pick up where we left off, and you got to leave here tonight with bragging rights that you came in Wednesday night and the preacher finished finally on Friday night with the same message. But tonight, it's a, how do I say this? It's a little bit different message than the last two nights in that the scripture really kind of turns a corner and gets, if you will, very practical about faith promise giving or grace giving. Dare I say that probably most of you in this room are familiar with grace giving and faith promise giving, and you've maybe practiced this for a good majority of your life. But a lot of times I find that there are things that we do when it comes to faith promise giving that most people don't understand where that principle comes from the Word of God, and why we do certain things the way that we do them. So again, like I mentioned the other night, if I'm going to get involved in something like this, I want to understand where it comes from. What is the biblical basis for this? So tonight, the message is a lot about the nuts and bolts of grace giving. So I want to begin with a word of prayer. We'll just do a quick review and then get into the verses that we have not gotten into yet, all the way down to, Lord willing, verse number 12. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the privilege you give us to be involved in worldwide evangelization. Lord, I pray that tonight, as I bring this message, that you would fill me with your Spirit. Lord, help me to say exactly tonight what you once said. Keep me from saying the things that I ought not say. And Lord, I pray that this would be eternally profitable time that we spend together. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, quick review of the last two nights, and I know some of you, by the way, are really, really nervous because you realize that the first night I covered three verses and took about 30 minutes to do that, and last night we covered two verses and took a little over 30 minutes to do that, and you've already done the math. You realize we have seven verses tonight, so all I can say is, hey, it's Friday night, so just buckle up your seatbelts. Here we go. All right, verse number one, moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Paul says a specific grace, the grace of giving, has been bestowed on those churches in Macedonia. And church at Corinth, I want to tell you about it. I want you to experience that grace as well. Despite, verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. They were in a great trial of affliction, very difficult time, and they were in deep poverty. They had two really good, can I use this word, excuses to not get involved in the offering. But they didn't let those excuses stop them. They said, God, we want to give, and we want to glorify you through our giving. And all of this abounded unto the riches of their liberality. God blessed them for their giving. How did they give? Verse 3, for to their power. So first of all, they gave sacrificially. He says, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, that is, they gave supernaturally, all because why? They were willing of themselves. And Wednesday night, we ended here, and there was one word I asked you to think about, pray about, and meditate on, and that was the word attitude. And that's where it starts, because attitude makes all the difference in the world. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were, again, excited about giving this offering to the Lord through the Apostle Paul. And it was, as the Bible tells us here, to receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints, an offering for others, an offering to help with the church at Jerusalem, an offering that was given to a missionary who was looking to the regions beyond to preach the gospel in those places. So this is a missions offering that is over and above God's tithe. The key to this, verse 5, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. We don't qualify to give a faith promise offering until, first of all, we give God his tithe, but then second of all, we just give him ourselves. And this is where it starts, giving ourselves to him. And last night, we ended with a second word that I asked you to pray about, meditate on, and think about, and that was the word availability. Have we made ourselves completely available to him? If we have, the rest of this will not be a problem for us. So we pick up from there continue on tonight in verse number 6, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now, Titus had begun with this collection of the offering at some time in the past. Not much, if anything, is known about that role, but nonetheless, he did play a role in that. But here's what I would emphasize in verse 6. The Bible says, so he would finish in you the same grace also. What grace is that? The grace of giving, as we said. That's the context of this. And by the way, that's one of the reasons we call this grace giving. That's a biblical term that we use here as we see it throughout this chapter. Therefore, verse 7, he says, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, he said, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, I remind you that the church at Corinth was a carnal church, so to find even a compliment for them was a pretty big deal. But notice here he gives 5 compliments to the church at Corinth. He says, listen, you're abounding in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence. And he says, and your love to us. He says, continue in those things, abound in those things. But then he says, see that ye abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. So how does this apply to you and I? Here it is. When he says, hey, these things are abounding in you, faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, your love to us, that reminds you and I that the ministry that God has given to us within the local church where he has put us, we should abound in that ministry and continue in that, because that is us reaching our Jerusalem. But then Paul says, as you're abounding in those things, hey, he says, see that ye abound in this grace also. Why? Because this enables us to reach beyond just our own Jerusalem, but to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I'll point out here too what the Bible says. It says, see that ye abound in this grace also. It doesn't say, just tip God. You know, just if there's a few coins that are left over at the end of the week, we'll throw those in for missions and we'll call that our faith promise offering. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, I want to go on record. If you've noticed, I really like to teach and preach through the Bible verse by verse. And, you know, I want to go on record that I did not skip verse number 8. And I really want you to see verse number 8. Here's what the Bible says. I speak not by commandment. You say, what does that mean, Brother Snyder? It means this. You don't have to do this. It means when these cards are passed out, you don't have to take one. You don't have to put anything on here. It is not a command. By the way, can I just throw out, do you see the difference here between God's tithe and the offering? So this is not a command. You don't have to do this. But as I said, I like to go verse by verse, so let's not leave out the last part of the verse either. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He says, you don't have to be involved in this, but before you decide to make that decision and not be involved, he says, you better think about a couple of things. Number one, he says, the occasion of the forwardness of others. What's he mean? The example of others. Who? The churches in Macedonia, who were in a great trial of affliction, who were in deep poverty, neither of which you, church at Corinth, are experiencing. He says, so look at their example and look at how God's grace has abounded upon them in a very specific, a very special way. And Paul says, hey, that's what I want for you. And what an opportunity God's saying to us tonight. Hey, listen, think about how God has blessed us and look at the example of us. Look to the example of the churches at Macedonia, but can we just look at the example of the churches not only here in the United States but around the world who also, along with you, are saying, hey, let's do what God would have us to do. Let's give what God would have us to give so that God's grace might be experienced here in a very specific and special way and see God do something which only God can do. So we don't have to be involved, but we better stop, number one, and think about the occasion of the forwardness of others. But also he says this, number two, and to prove the sincerity of your love. To prove the sincerity of your love. You've heard the saying that we can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. That's for sure. And you know, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you see that the Bible links our treasure and our heart together? They're inseparable. And what that means is that follow me here. Generally speaking, the things that we love the most are the things that we will spend the most money on. And generally speaking, the things that we love the least are the things that we'll spend the least on, or we'll spend nothing on it because we don't care anything about it. So here's the test that I want you to do in your own heart and mind tonight. Think about your own finances. What is it that you spend the most money on? What's the thing that's number two in that list that you spend the next amount of money on? Then number three, number four. And as you make that list, here's my question. Where is God in that list? He's giving you and I the opportunity to prove the sincerity of our love. You see, if I went around the auditorium tonight and I ask each person, do you love the Lord? 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 And I ask each one of you that question, I would hope and assume that we would all with our mouth say, yes, surely I love the Lord. But you know, it's one thing to say it with our mouth, and we should say it with our mouth, but it's another thing to back it up with our actions. You see, if I went to my wife and I said to her, hey, you know, I love you, honey. I love you, sweetheart. I really love you. I love you a lot. But, you know, I never provided for her, never put a roof over her head, never provided food for her, and took care of her basic needs. You know, there would come a time sooner rather than later where she would come to me and say, okay, Buster, there's something wrong here, you know. You keep saying with your mouth, you love me, but you're not backing it up with your actions. I wonder how often God in heaven looks at you and I and says, boy, I hear it with your mouth, but I'm just not seeing it with your actions. What a wonderful opportunity God gives you and I to say with our actions, to say with our finances, Lord, I love you. No. This isn't a command, but boy, what an amazing opportunity God gives us to say with our actions, I love you, to prove the sincerity of our love. Now, just in case that's not enough for us, I think that's why now Paul writes verse number 9. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Here we have the ultimate example of grace giving, Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich in heaven, but he became poor. Why? For you and I, so that we through his poverty might be rich. And I'll tell you what, if the example of Jesus Christ doesn't move us to action, I'm not sure what will. What an amazing example we have here given to us by Jesus Christ. So, now, with having said all of that, verse number 10, Paul says, and herein I give my advice. He said, I want you to pay attention. I want you to listen to this. He says, for this is expedient for you. Now, again, let me remind you who Paul was writing to. He's writing to the church at Corinth. They're the ones who will be giving. You know, a lot of times when we think about this offering, the missions offering being expedient, we think about how it's expedient to the missionaries, and indeed it is, because as we send support to the missionaries, the support is used for all kinds of wonderful things like buying groceries. So, you know, it's expedient for the missionaries. We understand that, but that's not what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying this is expedient for you, that is, those of you who get involved in giving. Now, how is this expedient for you and I? Well, quite literally, I have, I think it's 11 different things on my notes here, and I know it's Friday, but I don't want to keep you here till midnight, so I'm not going to cover all of those, but let me just touch on two quickly. How is this giving expedient for us? Well, number one, it's a way to exercise and thus strengthen our faith. We call it faith promise giving, and this is the way that we systematically, as we give, our faith is really tested, and you've heard the expression, no pain, no gain. Sometimes it gets a little painful, but there is gain in it because it strengthens our faith on a regular basis. But here's another thing. Number two, this is an opportunity expedient to us so that we can lay up treasure in heaven. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but this Faith Promise card is kind of like a deposit ticket for the Bank of Heaven. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on up ahead. And I'll tell you what, you talk about an amazing investment. This is it right here, okay? And pardon the pun, but this investment is out of this world. It is an amazing investment that, hey, you know, when I was a kid, I could put money in the bank, and they would give me this thing called interest. Any of you remember those days? Those are days, they're gone now. You know, now you put your money in the bank, and they give you this thing called service charge because you paid put money in the bank. You know, hey, the bank of heaven is not like that. The bank of heaven is an amazing place where as we make that deposit there, there is no rust that's going to get in there. There are going to be no thieves. There's going to be no fire. That is an eternal investment that will be there for us, not just for a few years, but for all eternity. This is indeed expedient for us. Now, verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, watch, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He's saying, you've begun before, not only to do, to make good on this promise, but he says also to be forward. That is, you were resolved, you were determined, you were even excited about being involved in this, but he says that this was a year ago. Now, let me just stop for a moment because those three words there, a year ago, are something that I could just kind of pass over quickly and keep going, but I believe there's something here for us to think about tonight. Two things that I want you to see from these words. Number one, I believe that here we have the principle for the annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. Now, I'm going to get your attention here. Everybody, those of you who went to sleep, it's time to wake up, okay? Please, don't leave here tonight and say that Brother Snyder said that the Bible says thou shalt have an annual Faith Promise Missions Conference, okay? I didn't say that. But here is what I'm saying. I believe the principle is here for that. Why do we have an annual Faith Promise Missions Conference? Well, watch this. As Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to the church at Corinth, he is asking them, he's challenging them to do two things. Number one, he says, I want you to think back to 1 year ago when you made a commitment to be part of this offering. And he says, I want you to think about what has taken place over the last year concerning that commitment that you made a year ago. And then he says, number two, church at Corinth, he says, I want you to look ahead and I want you to consider about what you will do concerning this offering. Is that not what takes place at the annual Faith Promise Missions Conference at a church? Is that not what we have already done? We're saying, hey, think back. Now, listen, as the church at Corinth thought back to a year prior and they realized, hey, a year had come and gone, they had not done what they were supposed to have done, it probably brought some grief to them, maybe a little conviction. So what were they to do then? Start looking ahead. What will they do now? But, you know, dare I say that if we had a little testimony service here tonight about the last year, dare I say we could have a great testimony service of God's goodness to all of us as we gave and saw God provide as we gave. But here's the rest of the challenge. We're not done. The Lord hadn't come back. We still have a job to do. So we need to now look forward and say, okay, what will we do in the upcoming year concerning this faith promise offering, this giving by grace? So there's a practical lesson I think we can see, a principle from God's Word. But here's the second thing. And again, this is just practical because if you're like me, if I'm going to get involved in something like this, I want to know what I'm getting involved in. This commitment, as you put your name on, the amount on the card, and you turn that in, that is a commitment that you are making for 1 year. Now, you say, why is that important? Okay, it's important for a couple reasons. Number one, because when 3 or 4 months from now, financial difficulties come your way, it was not a commitment for 3 or 4 months until financial difficulties came your way. Those financial difficulties, you know what they're called? They're called tests. God sends tests into our lives to see how serious we are about what He's laid on our hearts to do and about our obedience. So this is a commitment that you're making to God through this local church for 1 year. But here's another practical aspect as well. Now, I've already talked to Pastor prior to the service, and he said, I can give this example, but I have to do it hypothetically, okay? So, hypothetically speaking, Let's just say that somebody here in this church, good member of the church, and boy, you're a giver and you're serving here, and for some reason, your company transfers you to some crazy place like the left coast, okay? Hypothetically, of course, nobody's allowed to leave, but this is hypothetically. So 6 months into this commitment, your company moves you to the left coast. So does that mean this commitment is a commitment for 6 months until you move and then that's it? No, no, no. It is a commitment for one full year. You say, well, what do you do, Brother Snyder? After you make your move, you continue for the next 6 months to send that offering for missions back to this church until you fulfill that 1 year commitment to missions. It's important to understand this because the principles are here on this, and that's one of the reasons that we do that. By the way, some said, well, why a 1 year commitment? Aren't you glad nobody's asking you to make a 10-year commitment? Okay? I mean, there's a principle from Scripture, so we're going to use it. But the commitment that you're making, watch, this is important. The commitment that you're making is not a commitment that you're making to me. You're not making it to the pastor. You're not making it to the deacons. You're not making it to anybody. You're not even making it to this church. This is a commitment that you are making to God Himself. And is a commitment that you are making to God through this local church for one full year. Just a practical aspect. Again, if I'm going to get involved in something like this, knowing how serious it is, I want to know what I'm getting into and I want to know why. Here's a biblical principle to show us some basic things, I think, about faith promise giving. Now, I need to hurry on. Verse number 11. He says, now therefore, perform the doing of it. He says, follow through with it. Do what you said that you were going to do. He says, as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Now, this is a very important aspect of faith promise giving. He says, so there may be a performance out of that which ye have. There was a readiness to will. You were excited about it. But he says, now there's to be a performance out of that which ye have. The idea here is not waiting for God to give it to you first and then giving it. Just there's to be a performance out of that which you already have. I preached this series of messages some years back in West Virginia. While I was there, preached it just like this. And after I was done, pastor came up to me and said, Brother Snyder, he says, I have, for the last 14 years, had preachers come in and preach faith promise, and they have said this. Well, just put a number down on the card, and if God gives you that offering in a special way, you put it in the offering plate. But if God doesn't give it to you, you're off the hook. You don't have to give it. And he says, I've wondered why faith promise hasn't worked in our church during the last 14 years. You see, we have to give, and we have to give God's way to experience God's blessings. There's to be a performance out of that which we have. Let me just get really practical again with you, because this helps me to understand when somebody would explain it to me this way. My wife and I, being with BIMI, I'm the president and general director, but I do not get paid a salary by BIMI. We raise our support just like the rest of these missionaries raise their support, okay? So when our support comes in at the end of the month, we get a statement, tells every church they gave and how much they gave, and a check. Now watch. Out of that check, the first thing that comes out of that check is God's tithe. Why? Because it's God's. I just have to get the calculator out because I'm not good at math, you know, but I do the math, okay? And by the way, God's okay if you round it up. You know, when you're doing the math, he's okay with that, all right? So the first thing out of that check is God's tithe. The second thing that comes out of that check is our faith promise commitment for missions. Why? Because there's to be a performance out of that which we have. You say, what do you do after you do that, preacher? I pray a lot. But can I give you this testimony? For 33, almost 34 years now, God has met every single one of our needs. Sometimes it seemed like there was more month than money, but God made it all come out in the end. I don't know how, but I just say, thank you, Lord. And God keeps doing it over and over again. Why? Because you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try. You got your Bibles in front of you there. Turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. I've walked away from my Bible, and it is true that I have a good memory, but it's just short, okay? So I need you to help me here. And if I don't quote this correctly, I need you to shake your head or yes or no or something. Just, you know, guide me along. All right, Brother Minion, I'm going to help. You're going to have to help me out on this. All right. So Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. You there? Okay, I'm going to quote it. Here we go. Ready? Luke 6, 38. After God gives it to you. Thank you, Brother Minion. You're shaking your head. That's not how it starts, is it? What's the first word? Oh, that's where it starts. Give. And it shall be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What's that mean? Here's our Greek lesson for the night. It means you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try. But you have to give it God's way. Can I just be practical? You guys are going to think, man, he's the most practical guy I know. That's all I can do. If we gave it only when we saw it first, that would be called sight promise giving, not faith promise giving. And if we gave it when we saw it first, why would we even be talking about grace giving? You don't need grace to give it when you see it first. You need grace to give it when you know you're not sure what's going to happen after that, but you're just going to trust God, and God gives you the grace to give it and to trust Him. So there's to be a performance out of that which we have. Verse number 12, he says, for if there be first a willing mind, we covered that the other night. He says, it is accepted, that is, God's view or God's acceptance of our gift. It is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Well, I love this verse. I love this aspect of faith promise giving. He says, it's accepted, God's acceptance, according to that a man hath. By the way, you know what we're worried about? We're worried about what we don't have. God says, I want you to focus on what you do have. And he says, what really counts is my acceptance of the gift, not man's acceptance of the gift. Let me illustrate this for you. Over here, we have somebody who gives a $50 faith promise missions offering. Woo, praise the Lord. That's great. But over here in this illustration, we have somebody that gives a $100 faith promise offering. Woo, that's wonderful. The math that they taught me back when I was in school, that this one is the larger offering. Matter of fact, it's twice what that one is. That's man's acceptance. Because you see, in this illustration, this $50 missions offering is given out of a $500 budget. Whereas this $100 offering here is given out of a $10,000 budget. Do you see what just happened? God's acceptance of the gift says this one is much larger than that one. And I love this aspect of faith promise giving. Because what it means is that any of us, no matter where we are financially or otherwise, can, and I believe should be, involved in giving to missions. You say, Brother Snyder, can you kind of back that up from Scripture? I'm glad you asked, because I'd love to do that. I thought about Jesus in Mark chapter number 12. Remember, he's in the temple with his disciples, and there are a lot of people, they're coming in and they're bringing their offering. Matter of fact, the Bible even says some of them were rich. And that was all great. That was good. That was fine. Jesus never discouraged anybody from giving. But isn't it interesting that it's when the widow comes and she puts in her two mites that at that moment in time, that's when Jesus says to his disciples, okay, fellas, come here. You've got a lesson to learn right now. That widow has given more than all the rest. Because God's acceptance of the gift is based on not just the portion, but the proportion. Out of that which we have. And can I encourage you tonight? This is not a contest, but it's interesting to me that the way God looks at this, do you realize that the poorest person in this church can outgive the richest person in this church without even thinking about it? Now, I know there's a lot of college students here. I remember being a college student. And usually there's not a whole lot of extra money to go around, is it? Can I tell you, it's not the portion, it's the proportion. Comes back to what we've said, I hope and I think, every night so far. It's simply this. Just give whatever God tells you to give. You say, well, boy, I don't have much to give. It's not about the amount. Ask the lad that gave the 5 loaves and the 2 small fishes. Give it to Jesus. It's amazing what he'll do with it. And can I just give you this? These are just words of encouragement for me as I close this out. Can I encourage everybody to get involved? No, it's not a command. I admit that. But I would encourage everybody to get involved. I'm in a lot of different churches, and they collect the cards a lot of different ways. And I'll tell you, when I see the cards collected in some of the churches I'm in, you know, the total amount is just, wow, it's amazing the amount that came in. But if there's 100 people in the church, only 50-some cards came in, that's discouraging to me, no matter how high the number is. What encourages my heart is when there's 100 people in the church and the pastor counts them up and there's about 100 cards there. That's like, thank you, Lord. Because everybody's got behind the missions program of the church and everybody's excited to see God do something special and do something only God can do and experience the grace of God in giving. Husbands and wives, listen, get together, discuss this thing, pray about it. Sunday's coming. I remember as we prayed about ours, especially in the early years when we began this, and boy, but even still today, we pray about it, but we'd get together after the conference, and we say, okay, now, Barb, you tell me, what's God laid on your heart? And she says, oh, no, you tell me first. And I say, no, you are first. She said, no, you're the head of the home, so you need to be the one to go first. I said, okay, as the head of the home, I'm telling you, you tell me first. And we finally got to a point, you know, where we came together. But it's amazing. There were times where her faith was stronger than mine, and mine was a little stronger than hers other times, but the Lord brought us together as a couple and made it very clear to us what we're supposed to give. And every year, year after year, we trust God. Parents, can I encourage you to encourage your children to give? By the way, if they start giving when they're this tall, when they get to be this tall, giving will be second nature to them. They won't worry about hearing the word money preached in church. I remember with our boys when we were in Alaska, they were small little guys, and they have a dad that's frugal, good word. Cheap is probably better, but frugal, we'll go with frugal because it sounds so much better. You know, they would get an allowance from their dad, and I remember the first few times we went through this, you know, we had explained about God's tithe, and we worked with them on filling out the faith promise card. Parents, please do that. You know your five-year-old will give $1,000 a week and put it down on that card and not think twice about it, okay? So parents, help your children fill out those cards. But we would do all that so they knew. And I remember the first few times we did that, I laid the coins out on their hand and on my hand, and I took this one and put it over here. This is God's tithe, and I explained to them why. And then I took the coin or the coins out that we had set aside for missions and said, that's for missions. I remember when we did that, my boys looked at me, they looked at my hand, they said, you mean, Dad, we get to keep all that? I thought, man, out of the mouth of babes. You know what us old people were worried about? What's over here? How are we going to make it without this? No. Hey, God has blessed you and I in an amazing way. We need to teach that to our children, help our children learn how to give. College students, can I just mention that God is not just the God of old people? But he's the God of college students and teenagers and children. Search your heart. And again, I'm going to say the same thing to you that I'm saying to everybody. Give whatever God lays on your heart to give. Because you can't outgive God, no matter how hard you try. If you learn to trust him now while you're in college, it'll be amazing how you'll lean on those lessons when you get out into the next phase of what God has for you. So here we go. We're going to end this thing up. Got to finish up. It's getting close to midnight. No, don't look at your watch. First night, Wednesday night, we talked about attitude and how important attitude is. Last night, we talked about availability and how important it is for us to be available. Here's the third word. I want to leave this with you tonight, and I want you to meditate on this. This is a long assignment because this takes you all the way till Sunday. I want you to think about this third word. I want you to pray about it. Here it is, action. It's time to take action. You've heard the word of God. We've all been challenged. We know what the need is. We've been challenged with the needs around the world, several different places already. Don't do like the church at Corinth and say, well, yeah, maybe, and not follow through. Let's be like the churches in Macedonia who had the right attitude and said, God, we don't understand how you could do this, but we're glad to get to be a part of this. And God, we're making ourselves available to you, putting ourselves in the offering plate. And the churches of Macedonia said, you know what? We're just going to take action. We're going to do it because we're going to trust God in obedient faith. Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed, again tonight as we have this time of invitation? Would you consider again the example of the churches at Macedonia? Well, what a great example. They were churches that took action. And when God spoke to their heart, I don't think they argued with God. I think they just said, okay, God, if that's what you want, we're going to do it. And God blessed them. God bestowed a grace upon them that they had never experienced before. The church at Corinth had never experienced it before either. But can I just remind us tonight, God has not run out of grace. He wants that same grace for Maranatha Baptist Church. And it starts with each one of us individually. As the pianist begins to play hymn of invitation, would you take these next few moments? Would you talk with the Lord? Talk with him about attitude and availability, but even more so tonight, talk to him about action. God, what action do you want me to take? Not only in the area of giving, but praying and going as well. And ask God to make it very clear to you and take that action of obedient faith. Take these next few moments. You continue to pray as she continues to play. And in just a few moments, Pastor will come and he'll close the invitation as God directs him.